Let's consider this evening and read together the Word of God as it is found in two places. We first read in Genesis chapter 12, and then we'll turn for our text to Hebrews 11. Let's turn first of all to God's Word in Genesis chapter 12, reading from this chapter the first 9 verses. This is God's inspired Word, His record, and we trust that the Lord will, by His Holy Spirit, make clear to us what He intends us to know and to understand and learn from these passages that we'll be reading. First of all, then, Luke, in Genesis 12, we read, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram left, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh, at Shechem. The Canaanites were then in the land, but the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev." Now we turn then to the New Testament and to what we read in Hebrews 11, which reflects on this account here in Genesis 12. The writer of Hebrews focuses on the faith of Abram. And we'd like to read then verses 8 through 10 of Hebrews 11. And these words of God read as follows: "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." And the Lord bless us as we consider his word this evening, that it may be clear to us and that we may also be challenged and led by that word for our needs in our lives today. And dear friends in Christ, congregation of our Lord, as you know, life is often described as a journey. When we are born and we make our entrance into this world, we begin that great journey of life on earth. And when we die and make our departure from this world, we end our journey on earth. And in between those two events, we're on the road, so to speak. We're traveling, and we're making our way through life. There are various key points or markers on that journey of life. For example, when a young person graduates from high school and he heads for college or for a career, he begins a new phase of life, and he starts to pave his own path through this world. Or when two persons get married, we typically say to them, "Now you'll go down life's pathway together," and wish them God's blessing on their joint venture, the journey of life that they now share. And when children then are born into our homes, well, that certainly marks another milestone on our life journey. Nothing is quite the same when children enter into our families. And then when the time comes that we lose a spouse, a husband or a wife is taken from us, well, then also, that changed our life journey in a major fashion, too, as we must then continue our life journey alone and without one who's been our partner for many years. Now, this evening, we wish to speak about a man who all his life long was a traveler. He was always on the road, always on a journey. And for him, that wasn't only true figuratively, along the lines I have just mentioned, but for him, it was also true literally. Because he was a man who was always on the move. To be sure, he had places where he would settle for a while. But it was never for very long. He was always a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. However, as he made his journey through life, there was one key feature which stood out about this man. And you know what it was? It was his faith. His faith in God. His was a journey of faith. You, of course, know the man I'm referring to. We just read about him. His name was Abram, or later on he was given the name Abraham. He was one of the Old Testament patriarchs, those early Old Testament men of God about whom we read in the book of Genesis. They're also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter we often call the Heroes of Faith chapter of the Bible. Who were the patriarchs? Well, the Bible often speaks of them together as a trio, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Although sometimes Joseph is included among them as well. But the people of Israel all stem from Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. They were the forefathers of the Jewish nation. And now Moses, who is the author of Genesis, the human author, devotes therefore a great portion of the first book of the Pentateuch, of these first five books of the Bible, to the life of Abraham. No less than 13 chapters in all speak of him. And then Hebrews 11 also, quite a bit is said about Abraham. More, in fact, than about any other Old Testament person listed there. Now, why is that? And the reason, I think, most likely is that Abraham was a man who exhibited faith to an extraordinary degree. Yes, to a greater degree than probably any of the other saints of God. He was the greatest Old Testament hero of faith. Although that wasn't ultimately to his own credit, of course, because faith is the gift of God. And so we must never put Abraham on too high a spiritual pedestal. Only one human person deserves our highest praise, and he alone deserves our worship. And he is the God-man, the Savior, whose coming we just celebrated. And as a man on earth, Jesus Christ was indeed the perfect hero of faith and trust in God. But among sinful human beings, Abraham was certainly a man of noteworthy faith in God. That's why we call Abraham the father of all believers, an expression that is taken from Scripture itself, because Romans 4, verse 11, it says about Abraham that he is the father of all who believe. And so let's look at the faith of Abraham tonight and on this first Sunday of a new year. And as we continue our life journey in this new year, we want to learn from Abraham how we too must journey on in faith. And first, let's notice from our text that faith is needed as we begin this life journey. Now, we do not know much about Abraham's early life. Genesis 12 does mention a few facts about his family. His father's name was Terah. And his brother's names were Haran and Nahor, and his wife's name was Sarai. Actually, this is mentioned in Genesis 11. Sarah, who later became Sarah. And originally, Terah's family, including Abram, lived in the city of Ur, where Abram was likely born. Ur was a Babylonian city. It was inhabited by a people called the Chaldeans, or the Chaldees later on. Hence, it's often called in Scripture Ur of the Chaldees. It was located in Mesopotamia, what is now in the country of Iraq. And today, were you to go to Iraq, you would find that Ur is still there, but no longer an inhabited city. It is only an archaeological site where various ancient structures and artifacts have been excavated over the last years. But in Abram's time, Ur was a large and prosperous city, a great center of commerce. But it was also a pagan city. In fact, it was also a wicked city. The gods of the Babylonians were worshipped in Ur. And that also affected the family of Terah, because the Bible mentions that when Terah, Abraham's father, lived in Ur, he also worshipped the pagan gods there. But now God, in his mercy, had a special purpose in mind for a son of Terah by the name of Abram, because God had chosen him to become the father of a new nation, of a special people, of a people whom God would claim to be his own elect people, with whom he would make a covenant, and who would become his holy and his redeemed nation. We might say God wanted Abraham to embark on a new spiritual journey, which would radically change his whole life, as well as the life of his descendants. And that new spiritual journey began when God called Abram to leave his birthplace, Ur of the Chaldees, to leave the land and the city of his childhood and early years, and head for another place. And now here's where we get the first glimpse of Abraham's faith. Because listen to how Abram began his life journey, according to our text. This is what we read in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Yes, God called Abram, that is, Jehovah, the true and the living God, spoke to this relatively young man at the time, living in pagan Ur. And he told him, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees for another place. In Genesis 12, verse 2, in one, verse 1, it puts it this way. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Well, in those days when you left, usually never to return again. It was kind of like when the pilgrims, for example, left England for America in the early 1600s. When they left their homeland, they left it for good, and they knew that most likely they would never see it again. It was a total separation from their family and their relatives and their friends and fellow countrymen and familiar surroundings. You didn't fly back and forth to visit your family and relatives in those times as you can do so easily and often in our day. When you left, you left. In Acts 7, where Stephen recites for the Jews what God did in their past, Stephen says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land I will show you. And now that's what Abraham did. He left Ur with his wife Sarai and his father Terah and his nephew Lot, and they headed north to the city of Haran. But that was not the place God had in mind for Abram. It was only a temporary stopping point, even though it seems they lived there for quite some time. And so that's also where Father Terah died, in Haran. But Abram knew he had to move on. You remember what God had told him when he was still in Ur of the Chaldees. He had to leave his country and his relatives for the land that God would show him. And now you might ask or wonder, where does Abram's faith come in here? Well, it was shown in the fact that Abram was ready to follow God's leading, even though he did not know in advance where God was leading him. And our text brings that out specifically. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, it wasn't like when people immigrate to a certain country today, like to the United States. When my parents decided to immigrate to this country with their family, they had this in mind to do for years before it came to pass. And they checked out in advance where they might want to settle in this country. My father, I remember, wrote letters to different persons here in the United States to ask what kind of work there was available here, what kind of housing there was, also what churches were to be found in the area, Reformed churches in particular. And then when our family got a person who was willing to sponsor the family, everything was pretty well in place for us to make a new start in a new land. A house was waiting for us. A job was lined up for my father. It was all arranged beforehand and legally, as it ought to be. Even though it still took faith for my parents to come. It was still a big step for them, as some of you here perhaps can testify to as well, because it meant breaking with a lot of family ties leaving familiar country, leaving their dear friends, starting out new here and learning a new language. It was a major change in their life journey. It required a great deal of trust in God that He would help them and work everything out for them in this new place. But at least, they knew where they were going. But Abraham did not know where he was going. God didn't tell him in advance where he would go. I'm not even sure how God revealed to him how he should get there. Did God tell him at certain times, now, Abram, you have to move on, and in a direct manner? Did God speak to him and tell him what direction to take? I don't know. The Israelites traveling through the wilderness had a cloud and a fiery pillar to guide them. But Abram did not. He may have had to rely on other signs or indications that here or there is where God wanted him to go. In any case, Abram did not know at first where he would end up. But he believed that God would somehow direct him and bring him there. He had faith in God and was ready to follow him wherever God would lead him. And now, people of God, we also need that same kind of faith today. Faith to follow wherever God may lead us. Because we too don't always know what God has in store for us. We don't know what He has in store for us in this new year ahead of us. Where will God lead us in this new year? If you're still young, and you may wonder what kind of job there will be out there for you. If you're a person studying for a career, you may wonder if there will be an opportunity to use your education and your capabilities. We have to simply believe in God that He will lead us to the place where He wants us to be or what He wants us to do, which doesn't mean, obviously, that we must not ourselves also look and search for opportunities to use our abilities. But not knowing what will be available, we as Christians always have to live by faith in God to open the right doors for us. Or along a very different line of thinking, we may find ourselves having to deal with a life-threatening illness or as yet unknown ailment or problem. What must we do? What kind of future lies ahead of us? How must we face what lies before us? Well, we must have faith in God that He will take care of all of that. He will lead us, even if we do not know where and how. For that matter, not a single one of us here knows what lies ahead of him or her in this new year and what God may bring across our life path. We think we know, but we don't really know. So what we need to do, like Abraham, is we must place our faith in God and obey and follow him as he guides and directs us. And follow him to where he wants us to be or in what he would have us to do. And there may not always be something that we like or a place that we care to go to or be, yet we must follow his leading in faith. Abraham began his journey by faith, not knowing where God would bring him. But Abraham had assurance, and his assurance was that God would show him the place where he wanted him to go. And so I'd like you to notice, secondly, this evening, that Abram also demonstrated faith in God during the course of his life journey. Where did God lead him? Well, he led him to the land of Canaan. That's where God brought him and where Abram settled. That's what we read in the next verse of our text, in Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So now Abraham was in the place, or arrived in the place, where God wanted him to be. And yet there is something we should note here, which is clearly brought out in the verse that I just read. Although Abraham arrived in Canaan and settled there, it wasn't immediately his land. And it did not seem like home to him. In fact, he felt like a stranger and a foreigner in this new land. It says that in the text, like a stranger in a foreign country. It was never fully home to him. It wasn't like a family or a couple today who move into a house after having lived in an apartment for a while. And then they build a new house or buy a new home and they move into that new place and they say to each other, now this is our home. Finally, we have our place, even if it may seem a little strange at first, but soon it comes to feel like home. But apparently that's not how it was for Abram. Listen to what we read earlier from Genesis 12 in verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then it mentions they traveled to different places further in the land. But other peoples were already living there. And then verse 7 continues, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, and listen carefully, to your offspring I will give this land. To your offspring. So Abram really himself never owned that land. It wasn't his. It would be given to him, but to his offspring particularly. And God often reminded him of that fact. In Genesis 13, God said to him, after he had separated ways with his nephew Lot, God said to him, lift up your eyes now and look north and south and east and west. And all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. But Abram himself never received all of this in his own lifetime. In fact, when his wife Sarah died, you remember, he had to buy a burial plot for her. The cave of Machpelah from the Hittites who lived in Canaan. And yet Abram believed the promise of God. He did not doubt that as he lived from day to day in the land of Canaan, that God would keep his word and give this land to his descendants. And by the way, this is still the strong conviction, as you know, of many Jews today, that Canaan or Palestine or Israel rightly belongs to them because God promised it to them as long ago as Abram. And ironically, it's also the reason for all the conflict in Israel today. Because the Palestinians, who are Arabs, descendants of Ishmael, also feel that Israel is just as much their land. After all, wasn't Abram their father too? They want their piece of land and estate carved out of Israel. In any case, God did promise Abram's offspring the land of Canaan. And God did in fact fulfill that promise. When Moses led the Israelites to Canaan, and they entered the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, and then they conquered the land from the Canaanites. Now, what's noteworthy is that Abram's whole life journey while he moved around in Canaan was always a journey of faith. As Hebrews 11 states, by faith he lived as a stranger in a foreign country. Now you and I have homes here too, in this country. In this state, in this area. But we as Christians must remember that we also are aliens and strangers. Not only are illegal immigrants in America aliens, we're aliens too, says the Bible. And Peter began his first letter with these words, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect strangers in the world. That's what all true Christians are, in essence, aliens and strangers in the world. We make our temporary homes here, indeed. But actually, we are traveling through. As that hymn in the old Red Psalter hymnal says, the Red Psalter preceded the old Blue Psalter. It said, I'm a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away beyond the golden strand. What does that mean, that we're strangers here? Well, it means that we cannot put our hope and our trust in the things of this life and world because all of them are temporal. All of them are perishable. All will pass away. It means that in many ways, this world is really at odds with our values, with our beliefs, with our practices, with our lifestyle. It means that this homeland in which we live today, the United States of America, much as we may prize it as citizens of this nation, is never really our home, and it is not our dream. Not our ultimate dream. Nothing in this world can be the Christian's final hope and dream, because all of it will pass away. Abram always knew that he was a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Even as he was moving around in the land of Canaan, grazing his sheep and his cattle there in the land. But his hope was always in God. And ours must also be. Living by faith means that we live close to God each day. It means we stay attuned to God's will, that we have the right priorities in our life, that we work for the things that really mean something, that are of eternal blessing and value. Each day anew, as we continue our life journey, we must live by faith in God. Which brings me, thirdly and lastly this evening, to observe how Abram's faith also had a future focus. By faith, he began his journey. By faith, he traveled his journey. By faith, he also looked ahead to the end of his life journey, and even beyond. And the next verse of our text puts that like this. Hebrews 11, verse 10 says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Now we must think this wonderful truth through a little bit here, because this is really an amazing statement. For Abram was not a poor man. To be sure, he traveled all around the land of Canaan, but he was a very wealthy man. He was a rich man. And oftentimes, you know, you and I think of people who are poor and who have a struggle to make a living, or those who have really no hope, it seems, for advancing their lot in this life. They may be in bad health, they may be dealing with severe disabilities, or they have other burdens that they carry. And we think, no, those are the people, of course, who naturally will look ahead to a better future, to a greater nation or promise that lies ahead of them. This life doesn't hold a lot of promise for them. They put their faith in a better life to come. But Abram had everything this world had to offer. Materially, he really did. He was a very wealthy man in his time. He owned huge herds and flocks. He had all kinds of servants, in the hundreds of them. And yet his faith always maintained a future focus. He always knew there was something greater than all of that. Something much better than that. Our text says he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose builder and architect is God. And verse 16 states about him and the other patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph as well, that they were longing for a better country, that is a heavenly one. Abraham knew what earthly cities were like. He knew what living in the country was like. But as he journeyed and lived on this earth, he always knew there was another city. There was a permanent city. There was another country. There was an eternal country on which his eyes of faith were focused. In fact, in spite of everything that this world had to offer, he longed for a city that had foundations. What city was that, or is that? Well, it was the city which God himself was the architect and the builder of, it says. It was the eternal city, what the Bible calls elsewhere the New Jerusalem. In fact, Hebrews 12, verse 22 mentions it by name. "But you have come," writes the author of Hebrews, "to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God." And so this city is a reference to that place and to that community where God's redeemed people would live eternally with God, and which we will be part of and enter upon leaving this temporal world and life. If you wish, you could call it heaven, though it's more than that. You could more fully call it the new heaven and the new earth, which God will create after Jesus Christ returns, the new world which God will one day fashion for his people to receive as their inheritance, where they will serve him. But in any case, this is a city which will endure. It will last forever, because it is a city which has foundations. God himself designed it from eternity. And he built upon it, his plan of salvation. And he built upon the finished work of Christ himself, his only Son, our Savior. That finished work of Christ is the foundation of that new city, that new Jerusalem, that eternal life and salvation that God has prepared for us. And therefore that city will endure forever. That city can never fall or be destroyed, because it will be the inheritance of God's children that is imperishable. Do you look forward to that city? Do you ever think about heaven and eternity? Do you long for it, as Abram did? Maybe you might think, many of you think, well, I'm still young. I still have a lot of living I want to do on earth. I can't be thinking about heaven at this stage of my life. But every day we hear of young persons, children, teenagers, younger parents who are suddenly taken away from this earth, and we're only one step away, every single one of us, from our eternal destiny. The question is, are we ready for it? Is our journey on earth, is it a journey that's filled with faith? Are we ready to follow where God leads us in this new year? Will we live by faith in him who has gone before us, even Christ, to that eternal home? And do we look ahead by faith to the city which God has built on eternal foundations? As we begin the year 2012, and we travel on our earthly journey, may this be your and my resolution at all times. I press on in faith, bound for the promised land. I'm on the way to the city which endures forever, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given to us assurance this evening and guidance for us as we also travel in this world, and as we're also on our life journey. You've given to all of us, O Lord, a journey to traverse, and we thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us in our past. But we need your guidance and blessing as we continue on, and we pray that you will give us faith, strong faith and hope and trust in you, to lead us where we don't know what you are planning for us, what you have in store for us. But Lord, we know that you know, and we know that you will lead us and guide us to the land that you've promised for us. We thank you for your promise to be with us, and we pray that we may in faith and trust lean upon you. Help us, we pray, young and old, to always be mindful that we are strangers and aliens on this earth, that we really are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Help us not to focus upon and to think only of the things of this life and world which are passing. May we not build our dreams upon what this world has to offer us, but may we indeed serve you and honor you and live for you and consecrate ourselves unto you, until we too may arrive at that city upon which our faith must always be focused, that eternal city, that eternal home, whose builder and architect you are, our sovereign eternal God. Strengthen that faith in us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.